Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Ayati achieves liberation, text number 21. Sukadeva Goswami said, after speaking in this way to his wife, Devayani, King Ayati, who is now free from all material desires, called his youngest son Puru and returned Puru's youth in exchange for his old age. King Ayati gave the southeast to his son Druyu, the south to his son Yadu, the west to his son Turvavasu, and the north to his son Anu. And this way he divided the kingdom. So this reminds me of one time Radhanath Maharaj and the Radha Gopinath Mandir, he went to the Brahmachari Ashram and he said, "Who is willing to die for me?" And everyone was very silent. And finally one Brahmachari said, "I will, Maharaj." And the Maharaj gave his dhotis to this devotee and said, "Make it nice and saffron." Sludger, you don't understand. What's that? They said, Umir, you know, is that the word here? Umir, to die? Umritya. But then he said, he gave his dhotis to that brahmachari and said, "Please make them saffron. Die, you know, die." Text 23. Ayati enthroned his youngest son Puru as the emperor of the entire world and the proprietor of all its riches. And he placed all the other sons who are older than Puru under Puru's control. Asevitam Varsha Pugan Shadvarga Vishayeshu Saha Shanena Mumuche Nidan Dam Jatapaksha Ivadvija Asevitam. Being always engaged in Varsha Pugan for many, many years. Shat Vargam, the six senses, including the mind. Vishayeshu, in sense enjoyment. Saha, King Ayati, Shanena, within a moment. Mumukshe, gave up. Nidam, nest. Jata Paksha, one that has grown its wings. Eva, like. Dvija, a bird. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Having enjoyed sense gratification for many, many years, O King Parikshit, Ayati was accustomed to it, but he gave it up entirely in a moment, just as a bird flies away from the nest as soon as the wings have grown. Purport. That Maharaj Ayati was immediately liberated from the bondage of conditioned life is certainly astonishing. But the example given herewith is appropriate. A tiny baby bird dependent fully on its father and mother, even to eat, suddenly flies away from the nest when its wings have grown. Similarly, if one fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately liberated from the bondage of conditioned life. As promised by the Lord Himself, Aham Tvam Sara Papebhyo Mokshayishami, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pukasha Abhirya Shumba Yavana Kasadayaha Yenye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shaya Shudyanti Tasmai Pravishnave Namaha Kirata Huna Andra Pulinda Pukasha Abhira Shumba Yavana and the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, for He is the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Lord Vishnu is so powerful that He can deliver anyone at once if one is pleased to do so, if He is pleased to do so. And Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be pleased immediately if we accept His order by surrendering unto Him, as Marjayati did. Marjayati, who was eager to serve Vasudev, Krishna, and therefore as soon as he wanted to renounce material life, Lord Vasudev helped him. We must therefore be very sincere in surrendering ourselves unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Then we can immediately be liberated from all bondage of conditioned life. This is clearly expressed in the next verse. Having enjoyed sense gratification for many, many years, O King Parikshit, Yayati was astonished to it, but he gave it up entirely in a moment. Just as a bird flies away from the nest as soon as its wings have grown. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakamakami. Person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So becoming gradually convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we should surrender it to Him, is a question of gaining sufficient knowledge, intelligence, so we make the right choices, that's all. That our minds are going to present to us so many different choices at every moment. And according to our intelligence, we'll make the choice. That's all it is to it. Now, we're accustomed to making certain choices. That's called a habit. And habits are so that we actually think they're our identity. They think they're us. That this is my nature, this particular habit. And indeed it is our nature, but it's our conditioned nature. Now, a tiger eats meat. He's accustomed to it. I don't know very many tigers, but I've never met a vegetarian tiger. Now, if you tell a tiger that eating meat is not very good for your spiritual advancement, it won't disturb the tiger at all. It won't change his mind because he's not interested in material advancement. A spiritual advancement, or a material advancement. He doesn't have any choice. There's nothing in his mind that's going to tell him to fast on Ekadasi. Even on Ekadasi, he'll eat devotees. Because devotees are prasad, so they're offered to Krishna. So he gets some spiritual benefit by eating devotees. but most devotees won't volunteer to be prasad for the tiger. In any case, the tiger has no conception of what his habits are. He just follows the nature that he's acquired. But a human being, he has the capacity to discriminate. He has a choice. And if he makes the right choices, then he becomes elevated in consciousness. He becomes an elevated in consciousness means one becomes more aware of oneself as an eternal being. And ultimately one becomes situated in one's spiritual identity and becomes aware directly of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if one decides not to take those choices that will lead to liberation and enlightenment in spiritual consciousness, enlightenment of ourselves as soul, spiritual beings, eternal beings, and the happiness of engaging in loving service to Krishna and becoming aware of Him, if one doesn't take that path, then one will gradually take a path that will lead one to a lower and lower consciousness like that of the animals. So even if someone tells someone that one should not eat meat, people laugh and think that's not correct. You have to eat meat. You need the protein. Besides that, they'll say, I like to eat meat. That's my happiness. That's what I'm supposed to do, to stay healthy. So many arguments will be there. That whatever we do too often, that becomes a habit, it becomes second nature. Therefore, one should try to acquire habits which will actually progress one in spiritual consciousness. So those habits, of course, begin with chanting of Hare Krishna. Therefore, the fundamental principle of sadhana bhakti is, of course, always remember Krishna and never forget Him, but the primary means are by chanting the holy names of Krishna. So one should try to make that into a habit so it becomes normal to do that. It does become a great effort to chant so many rounds of japa every day. Of course, it may be a struggle because chanting japa is a spiritual activity and we're accustomed to material activities. Especially when we're told we're supposed to chant japa in a certain way, namely with attention and with love. And we're not used to doing anything with attention and love, for the most part. But we can choose to do it. We can choose to chant japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Or we can do it, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Ram 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 Ram, Hare Krishna, Krishna Ram Ram, Day Day Snake Snake Ram Ram, Hey. Oh, we can do it with in the mode of goodness, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, we can do it. There's so many ways of chanting japa. We can do it, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. We can do it any way we want to. And if we think, well, I have something better to do than chanting Hare Krishna, I got to get these rounds done, that will be one mood. And if I think I have nothing better to do than chanting Hare Krishna, I should do it as nicely and as lovingly as possible as I can. Then we'll get another experience. depends upon our conviction, but that conviction also depends upon our experience. And that experience depends upon whether we have enough memory so that when we actually have to chant our rounds, we remember I should try to do it as nicely as possible. But that has to be developed. Just like we're in class, and class we can pretend class in so many different moods. We can do it in, I deserve a little rest. Prabhu, you're asleep. No! What do you mean I'm asleep? How dare you? Who do you think you're talking to? Or you do it, yeah, I challenge you. Say something funny. Keep me awake. Oh, philosophy. Oh my God, another philosophy. He's going to tell me, I'm not my body. How boring. He'll even tell me I'm eternal. Oh God, who cares? Oh God, Krishna is God, another time again. Put it in another scratch. How many times are you going to say Krishna is God? You really want me to accept that? I already heard that a million times. So therefore, we have to choose within our what we actually think is valuable. We have to choose something. At least when we hear, choose something and think, I like that. That's valuable. Let me imply it. Let me appreciate it, at least. Let me walk away from the class or from the reading or from my experience in book distribution, something that I'm actually going to take as something valuable, and I'm going to concentrate my mind on it and appreciate it and remember it and apply it even more. Then from that seed, our devotional service will grow. But if we're mechanically going from one thing to the next, oh, now is the class. After class is prasadam. Ah, finally, prasadam. Something I can relate to. And then we're eating prasadam, we're in anxiety, we're talking to our friends, and we don't even chew the food. It's, oh, I'm sick. This prasadam made me sick. It's the cook's fault. Then we go to the next, oh my God, the next thing I got to do is some service. Oh, how horrible. Okay, and we go through the service. I pray I can last to lunch. And then we're at lunch. Okay, more service. Okay, now the evening program. I got to get through it so I can get my ultimate reward for the day. My bliss. Ding, ding, ding. Oh my God, I got to wake up again. I got to give up my attachment, my biggest attachment in the world, to my bed. I'm attached. I can't move. I'm glued to my bed. Sorry. I can't get up. It's not possible. You got to pry me off it. So everything depends on our perception, our ability to understand something beyond just this present moment, how I'm feeling. So that we can see, okay, right now I can change my consciousness. I can be in ignorance, I can be in passion, I can be in goodness, or I can be transcendental. That I got to transfer myself at least to goodness so I can understand how I should avoid ignorance and passion. And try to become transcendental. Then we can make some progress. Even a little endeavor can protect one from the greatest danger of falling back into ignorance. And what is this we have to avoid? What is this passing through our mind that we have to give up? Vihaya kamayak sarvam pumam sharati nispriha nirmamo nirahankara sashantim adigachiti. Vihaya, what do we have to give up? Vihaya means to give up. Vihaya, kaman, a desire for sense gratification. Now, sense gratification doesn't mean that we stop eating and sleeping and even mating and defending. It means we do it according to rules and regulations, according to what Krishna wants, how Krishna wants us to do it. So we, those rules and regulations help us to come to the proper attitude. That's all. We're not doing it just to be a machine and be restricted from what from in our sense gratification. It's just we're restricting it so we can eat what's necessary, sleep as much as necessary, have children if we want to mate, and defend ourselves, what's actually necessary, so that we can have the intelligence, so that we can change our consciousness to spiritual consciousness, whatever we're doing. And if we're in spiritual consciousness, whatever we do, then we'll actually be happy doing it. And if we're not in spiritual consciousness, we'll simply want to go from one activity to the next, hoping that somehow or another I'm going to hit the jackpot and I'll be happy for a few minutes, free from a little bit of anxiety for a few minutes before I fall down. Oh, it's terrible here. I hate it. Everyone hates me and I hate everyone. The temperature is too hot. No, it's too cold. It's not right. Oh, it's right for a few minutes. No, it changed again. My God, this is too much. I'm a victim. So if one follows the rules and regulations, one has the space to come to the right platform, the right state of mood, the right consciousness, a devotional consciousness. And in that devotional consciousness, we actually feel that we're doing the right thing and we're going to make some progress. Then, kaman means, so we eat as much as we actually need. We actually use our intelligence. It's time to eat. Today, I'm going to sit down when I take prasadam. I'm not going to eat too much. I'm going to think, what do I actually need? And then when I take the food, I'm going to chew it. That would help. It helps digestion. It helps the experience. And I should chew it, thinking that Krishna is so merciful. He sent this prasadam, and therefore the taste, what I'm getting, is not different from Krishna. It's spiritual. Then if one is happy, if one tries to eat prasadam in the proper way, with devotion, controlling the senses, like controlling the tongue, controlling the teeth, the lips, so that one actually chews the prasadam, actually becomes conscious of what we're doing, then the result is that one will actually develop some sense and mind control. That's called giving up kama. Vihaya kama, yak sarvam, pumams charity, nispriha. Charity, what does charity mean? One who gives up all desires of sense gratification, who lives free from desires. So I guess charity must mean desires. Nispriha. Charity means to be free from nispriha, desires. Lives. Charity means to live. Nispriha. Desire. Spriha means desires. Nispriha. Who lives free from desires. So not only sense gratification, that's relatively easy to tackle, but desires, there's only a limited amount of sense gratification we have before we have to stop. But desires in the mind are like unlimited. We have such an imagination, we can imagine so many things that I need. Matter of fact, we can probably spend the whole day just writing a list of things I'd like. I'd like to be rich, I'd like to be famous, I'd like to be this, I'd like to live forever, I'd like to... By 3 days, I'm still writing. So the mind can come up with so many desires. So nispriha, one who lives, who doesn't take these desires so seriously that I got to fulfill every desire that comes to my mind. prajahati yada kaman sarvam parthamano gatan admani atmana tushtas tita pragesta tochide. When Arjuna was asked, what is the symptom of a person who is actually self-realized, Krishna said, the first thing he said, prajahati yada kama, one who gives up desires which arise out of mental speculation and finds self-satisfaction in the self alone, he said to be fixed in perfect consciousness. So we can't give up desires unless we become Krishna conscious, unless we do something. We desire to become Krishna conscious. And if Krishna sees that desire, and he makes us a little bit more Krishna conscious, then we can see that that's better than all these other things that I'm desiring. I don't need so many things, I need Krishna. I need consciousness of Krishna. Nirmamo, nothing actually belongs to me. All this energy which is ever-changing, how can we say it belongs to us? It's like putting your hand in a river that's flowing, and you say, this part of the river belongs to me. But the part that you were holding on to is already past, it's already downstream. How can you claim it belongs to you? Similarly, everything in the material world, including our very near and dear body, is always changing. So how can we say it's ours? We can't stop it from changing even for a second. We have no control over the whole thing. We can desire to utilize whatever the circumstances are in Krishna's service, but we can't manifest the circumstances we're under. That's going to be created by Krishna under the direction of his spiritual, of his energy. Nirahankara, and to give up our false ego, to think oneself to be the servant of the servant of Krishna, rather than thinking oneself to this body, and my interest in life is to further the interest of my material body and my mind. Nirahankara. Then one can actually become peaceful. So it's not so easy to become peaceful. It has to be gradually obtained by practice. Suitable practice, Krishna says, and by detachment. Then, Esha Brahmasiti Partha, Nainam Prapi Vimuyati, Siddhasyam Antakalepi Brahmani Nirvana Ruchiti. That is a way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which man is never bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So, if we practice enough, then we'll become Krishna conscious enough so that even when we have to leave this body, we'll think about Krishna and not be disturbed. And anxiety where I'm going. We'll leave it up to Krishna. So we have to develop that faith in Krishna gradually and give up our faith in our material mental concoctions. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. You only put a finger up. That's a very small question. Okay. Do we have a microphone?
Hare Krishna. My question is, sometimes, let's say some devotee is going to leave the body and is in a very bad condition physically and maybe is in coma or something like this. And then is not able to remember and he leaves the body. Or it's just in a very bad condition and leaves the body. Or is dead on spot.
What's that?
Sometimes maybe somebody meets with an accident.
Yeah.
And is dead on the spot.
They're dead on the spot.
Uh-huh.
So what happens to them?
Well, I'm like...
What's the question?
Yeah, and is not able to remember Krishna. It's like immediately somebody...
Nothing happens by accident. It's not that someone, gets run over by a truck. And it's just an accident. Who knows where he's going? Everything is arranged according to our past activities. But if we were engaged in devotional service, it's not that Krishna says, well, I got run over a truck, sorry. Send him to the darkest regions. No, it depends on Krishna. He's in our heart. He knows exactly what we deserve. nothing happens by accident. And therefore, we go to the destination we deserve. What we remember at the time of death is not by accident. It's according to what we've. Just like when you see prasadam, it's not by accident you become hungry, especially if you haven't eaten by some time. Isn't that right? What would happen if you saw prasadam? You become hungry usually if you didn't eat too much the day before. So similarly, at the time of death, naturally we'll turn to whatever we've been cultivating. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It's not that the soul dies. It's not that the soul gets run over by a truck. The soul naturally, at every moment, we're turning to whatever we're attached to, either spiritual or material. So similarly, at the time of death, we'll naturally gravitate towards the shelter that we're used to. Anything else? Khala Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.